The teachings of General Conference are the considerations the Lord would have before us now and in the months ahead.
Our marching orders for each 6 months are found in the General Conference addresses.
For the next 6 months, your conference edition of the Ensign should stand next to your standard works and be referred to frequently.
I encourage you to read the talks once again and to ponder the messages contained therein.
I exhort you to study the messages of this conference frequently, even repeatedly, during the next 6 months.
You're listening to the Conference Talk Podcast. We're at conference weekend every weekend. Each weekend, we discuss talks from the most recent General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
That's right. We'll share some insights, make some connections, and have a bit of fun as we study the words of the awesome men and women that God has called to direct His church in the latter days. I'm Shelby Stanfill.
And I'm Shelby Christensen. This episode, we're talking about President Harry B. Eyring's address, All Will Be Well Because of Temple Covenant.
Awesome. I'm super excited for this talk.
It was a really, really good talk. I feel like a lot of the talks this past conference just were all about like remembering your covenant, staying true to your covenant, really being all in. And a lot of them had to do with the temple and the importance of the temple and making sure that our families are focused on that and the blessings that we receive from the temple. So this was a really good talk.
Yeah, and this rounded out Saturday morning session. He was the last speaker to speak. And this was also his first time speaking with a pre-recorded message. And so that was like, that caught me off guard because he was there in person, I'm pretty sure. And then he popped up on the screen and I was like, oh, okay, we're doing a pre-recorded message now. That's fine. Just like President Nelson, right? But I mean, if you think about it, they're pretty old. They're getting up there. And so definitely, that caught me off guard for this talk, and that's why I remember it. And you and I were talking a little bit before the recording of the episode, and we both felt like we had heard this like story before that he references. And so we did a little bit of research, and it's definitely been referenced many times, like in many different talks that people have given. It's been referenced in a BYU Hawaii devotional. It's been referenced in like LDS articles about like church newsroom and service and bunch of different things. So I think through the grapevine, somehow Shelby and I both heard it at some point in our lives. And then when he said it in conference, we're like, oh, we've heard this story before about the Teton Dam and the temple and all the things that were going on and they couldn't get to their kids. So that was kind of cool to know that.
Yeah. At first when we were talking before this, I was like, hasn't he said this in like a general conference address before? I'm like, are we repeating? Like, I don't know. Just for some reason, I was like, I have heard him say this before. But after looking up all the references, I think it was more probably just being a lesson in church where they talk about his experience because he shared it somewhere and it's been referenced. So, yeah.
Yeah. And so for those who remember or don't remember, basically, he was the president of BYU Idaho, and they were going to the temple, only a 30-minute drive, right? Not too far from Rexburg if you've been up there. And they were going to a temple ceiling. And then they noticed, you know, when they go to return home that like the temple workers and patrons are like conversing in the lobby. And then they tell him that the Teton Dam in East Idaho collapsed and more than 80 billion gallons of water were flowing throughout the city of Rexburg, which I went to school up at BYU Idaho in Rexburg. And I can't imagine all of that underwater. And like, I don't even know what that would look like. It just doesn't feel feasible to me, but it happened. Like, and this is before, you know, all the, like you said, all the cell phone service and being able to contact people. And I just can't imagine, like, I've lived my life pretty much with cell service and texting and all these things for like a pretty long time. When I was in high school is when I got that access to a phone and things like that. And so just putting yourself into their shoes and like the situation and the time that they were in, I mean, I would be freaking out. I would have been Sister Eyring. I would have been seeing the floors. I would have been her saying, what the heck are you doing? Why are you not worried? We can't get to our kids. What if they got like swept away in the flood? Like, I would have been Sister Irene. Like, and I will admit it. I will 100% admit I would have been Sister Irene. But I love the faith that President Irene had and how he put that all into perspective. And what was the words he said? He said, Kathy, whatever the outcome, all will be well because of the temple. We have made covenants with God and have been sealed as an eternal family.
Yeah. What faith, like the faith that he has in the covenants that he held in the temple to like, for God's promise, like everything's going to be okay. Like if for some reason his children were not okay physically in this life, like he knew that this life is only just like a little blip. And then like, because they have they were sealed together as a family, they've been at the temple, like everything in the grand scheme of things, everything will be okay. And I just admire that faith because I don't think I have that kind of faith a lot of times. And so, but I actually do remember a time on my mission when I received told like a, hey, it's going to be fine. I served my mission in the Philippines and, I had been out for, that was a year and a couple of months, and we had a typhoon come. And I remember that day, like we woke up Sunday and we were getting warnings that it was a Category 3, a Signal 3 is what they call it. Like they call it signals. And it was a Signal 3. And the big one that had hit a year before that like completely wiped out one of the islands was a Signal 4. And so it was a pretty strong typhoon coming through. And we didn't get anything from our mission president or our zone leaders or anything about like staying home. It was just raining at this time. Like it was just a nice steady rain. So we went to church, and as we're in church, the state president comes in and he said, okay, it's a steady signal for it's headache straight for us. So just be, you know, be ready. And so we were still not getting any information from our mission on what to do. So we went out to work, and I don't think so. We were in the same house as another sister, companion, and we all on Sundays we both would go out to one of our furthest areas, and we just didn't think not to go out there. We just like kept our normal schedule, like go out to our furthest areas where we don't have a lot of transportation opportunities. So we went out, and I remember we were teaching a lesson. We were actually teaching English. Well, not English. We were teaching the alphabet to somebody who didn't know how to read, one of our investigators. And the rain was so loud, like so hard, so loud. And all of a sudden I get a text message from our zone leaders. Everybody needs to get home now. And I'm like, oh no. So we get home. We get a ride. We actually had to go out into the other sisters in our area because they were not responding. So we had to go find them, and we get home, and I have never seen a storm like this in my life. Like the rain was insane. The wind was absolutely insane. Like, the bamboo and palm trees were literally like blowing all the way to the ground and then like shooting back up. Like it was just absolutely insane. The lightning was insane, and we didn't have electricity when we got home, and we were in there, and me and all the other sisters were like kind of nervous, but at the same time, we're like, this is kind of cool. Like we get to experience this. And I got nervous because I was like, well, what if this turns out to be really, really bad? And so we said a prayer together, and I was overcome with just a sense of peace. And I don't know if there, like, I felt like everything was going to be okay. And then I felt like, I felt like this is going to be a great opportunity to serve. Like, you're going to be okay. And this is going to be an opportunity to serve the community. And that's what I went off of. Like, and so the next day we were fine. Like, there were trees fallen and stuff. And the water was really deep, like outside our house. Like, it was up to our knees. But we were fine. We were okay. And we did have opportunities to serve. So
that's so cool, because I feel like, in that story, and even in President Irene's story, in this talk, there's this sense of peace that comes where you're like, okay, is this like eternal peace that I'm feeling? Or is this like temporary peace? Like you're trying to give me the peace that like all is well right now too. But like, to be honest, that's the point. Like it doesn't matter whether it's that everything's okay right now or everything's okay eternal. It's the fact that you're given peace in that moment because for President Eyring, right? Temple covenants, family things. It made sense that you as a missionary felt this is going to be an opportunity to serve. Like you knew no matter what the outcome was, the Lord was telling you it was going to be a service opportunity. And so it's just so cool to see like how the Lord speaks peace in different ways, but also very similar, right? Because now President Eyring and his wife, I mean, they not only do they have their own family, but they were also worried about their thousands of college students that probably were displaced without homes. And in that moment, you just have to trust that the Lord knows what he's doing. His hand is over that flood. His hand is over the storm. And he's creating little miracles and service things happening in and out that whole time. And so that, like, I don't know, that's amazing to me to see that his hand was in the flood too and in the storms. It reminds me of, oh my goodness, is it the brother of Jared? Yes, it's the brother of Jared when they're floating in the water and they've made the barges.
Oh, the vessels.
Thank you. Yeah. I was like, is it vessels or barges? They've made the barges and it says like, I will be your light. Like I will be your light in the wilderness and like, I will go before you. All these things just come to my mind. Like he is our light. And especially as members of the church who have made and kept or have made covenants in the house of the Lord and even outside of the house of the Lord, right? Baptism. We have that extra knowledge to like literally bind and anchor us to the Savior in those moments of turbulence. And that's what I think that light in the wilderness is, right? Like, I will be there. I will go before you and I will be your light. Same thing in a storm or whatever the situation may be. And I don't know. It's a beautiful knowledge to have in a moment of scariness. Right? Because we both admitted we would have been Sister Eyring.
Yeah. And just going off of what you were saying, it reminds me of the quote that was shared from President Russell L. Nelson. Further down during the quote, he says, each person who makes covenants in temples and keeps them has increased access to the power of Jesus Christ. And then he says, once we make a covenant with God, we leave neutral ground forever. God will not abandon his relationship with those who have forged such a bond with him. In fact, all those who have made a covenant with God have access to a special kind of love and mercy. Just reminded me of that quote that was taught here.
Yeah, it's so good. I love how much President Nelson is referenced. He's referenced pretty frequently. And I think that speaks to something, you know, just the time that we're living in and how crucial President Nelson has been to the church, really, and really accelerating for Christ to come, for us to be prepared, for it to prepare our hearts. I also love this. Maybe we could talk about what this actually means. And maybe you have an answer, maybe you don't. But it's the quote, the very first quote. You read the last half of his quote. The beginning of it says, the safest place to be spiritually is living inside your temple covenants. What does that even mean? What does it mean to live inside your temple covenants? Like I thought about that and I've just been wondering as we've been studying for this talk, like what does he mean when he says living inside your temple covenants?
That's a really good question. As I'm thinking about it, because I actually thought of that too. I wanted to talk. I was like, ooh, that'll be a good talking point. So when we go out of the temple and we receive or we take out these covenants with Heavenly Father, it's not just like a one and done kind of thing. Like you don't just go make these covenants with Heavenly Father and just like be on your way. And it can be easy for it to become like that, especially in the world that we live in. I think something that I thought of in this talk as I was reading it, was really being consecrated, living the law of consecration. And that is like literally like our whole heart and our whole being becomes what Christ is. And so as we continue to attend the temple and renew those covenants and remember what those covenants were, as we come to understand those covenants more and more, I think living inside those covenants, we bring those covenants outside with us, and those become who we are. Like, and people are able to feel a difference when they're around us, or like they can see something in us that you know they may not see in other people, because we are literally emulating Christ when we actually truly live those covenants. I don't know if that is answering your question.
No, I mean, I don't really have an answer either. This was also just like, what is it? What does it mean? And because I love that phrase, like it really stands out to me. And I think as I've tried to like understand what living inside temple covenants means, like I think about when I'm inside in the midst of like a storm, like that's the first thing that comes to me is I have like an irrational fear of, well, a lot of things, let's be real. But I also have an irrational fear of tornadoes, which is not good because I live in Texas.
I'm terrified.
Like, you have no idea. When I first moved to Texas, the first storm we got, like, I really thought I was going to die. I was like, what is – I'm from California, so I never experienced, like, a southern storm. Southern, right? Texas is kind of south, but not really at the same time. Anyway, I feel like for me – even just last night, like it was really windy where we lived. It was cloudy all day and we had experienced a lot of rain before. And I was so grateful for the shelter I had inside. And so when I relate that to, you know, like a temple covenants, I think of, well, what are covenants supposed to do for us? Like, what are they? Why are they made? What are we doing? And to your point, it's to help us become more like the Savior, right? Like to become who we are. But also, I feel like since we're living in the world, the temple covenants then protect us from all of that and that shelter. Like it's the shelter inside us and living in this world. Like that's how I thought of it too. Cause I don't know. And then you think about a baby being inside like a mother's womb, and like that's a really like comforting place to be for that baby as it grows. And so I just think of like that idea of living inside and being protected amidst where we stand and all that we're going through. So
I really like that. Yeah. No, I really like that perspective a lot.
And just covenants, they're just so important. Like they get us through. I just did a podcast with Keenan last week on Elder Soares's talk, which I'm totally forgetting the title of it. Oh, Covenant Confidence Through Jesus Christ. Mm. And I feel like this goes really well. Those two talks go really well together because we talked a lot about covenants and the strength and why they're given. Like Elder Soares says, they're given to help you in like trials for what's ahead and what comes, whether it's like your own trials, like that come from maybe mistakes you're going to make or somebody else's mistakes that are affecting you, or just like natural disasters because we live in a fallen world, right? Like whatever they are, the covenants are there to help guide through that. And so I just think those two talks go really well together. And I would encourage y'all listening to read Covenant Confidence Through Jesus Christ by Elder Soares because it's a fantastic one to pair with this talk.
And further down, he says, qualifying to make sacred covenants is not a one-time effort, but a lifetime pattern. I like that phrase, lifetime pattern. The Lord has said it will take our full heart, might, mind, and strength. Frequent participation in ordinances of the temple can create a pattern of devotion to the Lord. So we can be safe within those covenants or receive the protection from our covenant. But we have to make it a lifetime pattern. Like it has to become something that it becomes what we do and who we are.
Yeah. Consistency.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we're not just going there for us. We're going there for our ancestors too. And those who didn't have the opportunity to receive this gospel in our life. Like that's such an important role that we have to help all of God's children return to Him and be safe in those covenants too.
That's true. Like when I think of the temple, this is something that Keenan said that really stuck out to me in our last discussion. And I'm only sharing it because it's so relevant to this talk. But He said, I think that oftentimes people get too excited about the temples and not excited enough about the covenants that are going to be made in those temples, like when temples are announced. And he might have been quoting like a general authority who said that, but I can't remember who. And I think that's like so important. Like when a temple is being built, like location is great, but also think of all the people that are impacted from that will be impacted, that get to easily go travel to a temple to make and keep covenants for themselves and then for their dead, right? Like that's really powerful. It's just such a powerful doctrine and great work.
It's a test
to participate in.
Yeah. And it's a testimony to me that like God's work is going to progress no matter what. Like he has promised that like his work will progress until throughout the entire world and the entire earth. And just every time that temples are announced, I'm like, oh, and it's really exciting for the places. But when I hear some of the places, I'm like, oh my gosh, like these places, like Christianity is not even like a thing over there. And it's just like so cool to see like God's work is progressing and it's not going to be stopped. And I love that. It's just like super comforting. It's just a testimony to me of like just the beautiful, just concept of the gospel.
So I feel like this ties in really well to it. Something that he said in his talk, it's in the latter half of his talk, but it's when they were getting married, and I'm just going to read it. Elder Spencer W. Kimball performed their sealing, and he gave them some words of counsel. And this is what he said to him and his wife. Hal and Kathy, live so that when the call comes, you can walk away easily. And then I'll read a little bit more. He said, initially, we did not understand what the counsel meant for us, but we did our best to live our lives in such a way that we would be prepared to leave to serve the Lord when the call came. And I can't feel, I feel like with him bringing up like being able to walk away easily and to live in a way in the context that you've been talking about, right? Like making these covenants become who we are. I hear covenants behind this. Like we were going to the temple. We were trying to keep our covenants. We were doing the things to keep our mind on the Lord first so that when the Lord asked us to do something, we could easily walk away and do it because we've been keeping our temple covenants and we knew what we were doing. Like, I just hear this in the background. It's not necessarily being said because I feel like you could read it and be like, why is he talking about that? Right? Like, why did he bring up a calling about him being, you know, being able to walk away to be the president of BYU Idaho? But he does relate it to the fact that it's because no matter where and when you are, how you're living your life, if you're honoring your covenants that you make in the temple, like the Lord will then pull you to places and guide you to do things and prepare you for things such as this, right? Like obviously this was President Kimball seeing down the future, right? Like being able to see what was coming for them specifically, but even for us individually, right? Like where can we serve? What can we be doing? And how can we be constantly focusing on the Lord and being able to walk away easily from things in our life? Even like, oh, well, I was going to cook dinner then, but sure, I'll come help, right? Like letting that go. Because what really matters is that you get to go serve and you'll get to eat dinner no matter what. Like it will be there. You can grab something on the way home, right? So I don't know. I just think that ties in so well to not only keeping our covenants, but then like just living them and doing the things that we said we would do.
Yeah, absolutely. I've definitely noticed a difference. There's been times where like I feel like I'm like doing really good, like living my covenants and like doing all the things that I'm supposed to do, right? And like when I'm on that like high or that nice steady progression, I do feel like I have the capacity to do more and recognize more opportunities that the Lord is placing in my way and not get like overwhelmed or frustrated about it, right? That it's like maybe getting in the way of some other things that quote unquote need to be done. But then when I am not, you know, reading my scriptures daily or, you know, when things fall short, when I fall short a little bit, I do recognize that like I have a little bit more like frustration when things come up or like, no, I don't really want to do that. It's fine kind of thing. So I definitely see like why it's important to really nurture those covenants and live in a way that, like, when God calls, we go. And it increases our faith. And I think it helps to really increase our, like, our ability to be more Christ-like.
Yeah, for sure. And it reminds me of, like, when God calls, we go. I think of Nephi's family, Lehi, mm-hmm. family. They went, they left, they went in the wilderness. Nephi, go get the plates. Okay, I'm going to get the plates no matter what. Like, and then just this constant, I mean, we read about, we reread the Book of Mormon so many times that we all know Nephi and Lehi and that family very well. But, like, that's a perfect example too. Like, they had to have been living covenants and understanding in order to walk away that easily, right? And so I think for all of us, it's an invitation to, are you going to be able to walk away easily? We are probably, more than likely, most of us listening are not going to be called to be like a president of some university, right? But I think we are called in more normal ways, like, or less bigger callings, right? It's the little things. It's the text. Can you do this for somebody? Can you give this person a ride? Can you, like, can you watch my kid for a second? Like, or it's the thoughts that come into our mind from the Holy Ghost, like, hey, you should just go do this for that person. Just go do it, right? You're living in your covenants. And so it makes sense that you're feeling prompted to do these things. And I'll say this, because I always say this, anything good is a prompting from Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, so you don't need to question it. If it's a good thought, just do it. But yeah, I don't really have much else to say about the talk. Do you have anything else you wanted to add before we close it out?
No, I think that was great.
Well, thanks for listening to the Conference Talk Podcast. This episode we discussed Elder Eyring's address, All Will Be Well Because of Temple Covenants.
If you enjoyed this episode, give us a 5-star rating anywhere you get podcasts.
And check out our website, conferencetalk.org, where you can follow us on social media, drop a comment, check out the show notes, and learn more about us, your host.
If you want to follow me, Shelby Christensen, you can find me at ShelbyC08 on Instagram. And my husband and I also have a podcast called The Olive Theory Podcast.
And you can find me, Shelby Stanfill, with my husband, Kevin Stanfill, at the Book of Mormon Podcast.
But while we always appreciate new followers, it's better to follow the prophet and the apostles themselves.
Yep. Although we love speaking about the church and our leaders, we do not speak for them. Everything said on this podcast represents our own personal opinions.
So join us next time in our weekend conference weekend on the Conference Talk Podcast.